I'd like to field some questions if you have any. I'm single and I'm rich. No. No, I shouldn't as well. Serious questions. No. Any serious questions about how I write? You probably don't want to know. Yes? I have a problem with too many ideas. I wake up and I go about my job, my day, and I just come up with lots of ideas, hundreds of ideas. And it's a real chore for me just to concentrate on what I'm doing. So they just come. They're just there. Yes? I get up in the morning and write. And then after I write till noon, I get up at 6, write till noon. And then I go out to the poor housing areas and help poor children get back into school, help poor families get paint and fix windows, get new utilities, new stoves. And I work till about 4 or 5 with the poor families. In June, I got 73 jobs for kids and painted a lot of houses and stuff. I didn't do it, but I have a way. They say I got a gift of gab, so I go to the housing authority and convince them that these people need the things. So that's what I do. And I write. Yes? I do it unconsciously, and I do it so that I don't betray the poem. Okay? If I was to write a poem, I really believe that you don't have to make your poem a scientific formula coded so Russians can't get it. Okay? I think that if you simply approach something and you write it, just like if you just write it very simply, I think there's a real tendency for us to feel insecure about that because, you know, we're hit with so much things that are not true. But as a poet, I think if you just approach it simply and say what you want to say, I think, and work that, you're gonna trigger a poem. Yes? I think so. I think you're absolutely correct because if I was not to put in colloquial Spanish that we use in the barrio, or Mexico Spanish or whatever, I don't think it would be poetry. I think it would be something that would words put together from a dictionary. And now the poems are coming from people who actually live. I wanted to read to you some just a series of words here to show you how people really talk. I didn't try to do that earlier, but here is some really here's a kind of bilingualism I use. This is about a guy who got bewitched by a woman. She embrujó. She put a spell on him for love, and this is what one of the guys say to somebody else. Me acuerdo Casper the Ghost, aquel vato de Duranes que andaba tirando broncas pa' cuál lado. Fíjate que aquella vieja brujona le dio un cambio. Hasta la visita torrechante se apagó un poco. You know what I said? Let me tell you, this guy's talking to somebody else. He says, I remember Casper the Ghost. That guy from Duranis, who always was fighting, every which way. Well, check this out. That old wretched witch, she changed him. After one visit to her house, the light bulb went off. That's a really good instance of bilingualism, and it wouldn't work otherwise. Okay? So, any more questions? Yes? I do both. I take both extremes. I take both. If I'm working on something spontaneously, I usually have something in the wings that I'm constructing very tediously and slowly. Yeah. Evelyn, yeah.
When you write about other places, do you feel as you obviously
do? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when you do a poem, it traverses through many labyrinths. You go from here to there to there to there. And really, a lot of the poems that I'm doing about New Mexico have their originality, have their birth in different states, ranging from New York, Miami, Montana, North Carolina, Virginia, but they blossom in New Mexico. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, you know, but... And there's a lot of people who love the poems from different states, and I guess that's something to do with it. I believe that poetry, even though I am a Chicano, and I believe that I, as a poet and human being, transcend that into a world human being. I just happen to be from Nuevo Mexico. I happen to be very aware of land grant issues. But when I'm in New York, I sit down with Italianos, Jewish people, blacks, and we just have a good time. I'm a worldly Chicano. I call myself the cosmopolitan Chicano. The CC kid, the cross-continental kid. Anyway. I'm sorry to be so humorous sometimes. I just can't help it. Is there any other questions that I can... Yes? Yes, it's a curse of sorts with me, because I on this last book, the Black Mesa Poems, it was the most grueling book I've ever done, because it was about a place. I wanted to try to take a human being, because what happened was I saw a lot of violent human beings, and I wanted to see how I could take one human being that was violent, in theory, and what's the process that human being has to go through to become a peaceful person. Okay. And so that's what Black Mesa is about. And it's been really a tough, tough job, because I've had to create a place and create a people that I saw. And I've had to look into their hearts and their lives and try to find the poem there. And it's been very difficult, because I've created a lot of people that are common people. I've created them into heroes based on their commonality. And it's been tough, because I feel very insecure about it, like you do, about your work. And I take a poem and I feel very uncomfortable with it. Someone else says I love it, and I just go by that, I guess. So, I'm going to go by your applause. Yes. Okay, and be more precise now.
Well, there's a specific
jailed in their jails? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, well,
to swing their picks or what?
Yeah, there was some short mention there.
I see.
The best
I see. The best of the Chicanos, and angered by the injustice, arbitrary injustice, of the best of Chicanos and Chicanas jailed and in prison. Yeah. I'm very upset by that, because most of the prisons that I go to give readings, the men and women are in the healthiest medium of their ages. I mean, it's just fascinating. They're all between like 19 and 32. They're prime. It's when they should be doing the most work as a human being. It's when they should be developing their vision in life, when they should actually be physically forming their vision with their hands, with their eyes, with their voices. And instead, I walk into a prison and I see a huge crowd of Indios, a tremendous crowd of Chicanos, and they're all young like me. And I say, what's wrong here? Why are all the young, healthy people in prison? That's my question. And 80% of them are there for drugs. Why? And I go to Attica, San Quentin, Santa Fe, Florence, and I see the people there are from 19 to 32, the prime of their life, and they're all filling the prisons. Why? These are young men and women who are beautiful, who are strong, who are intelligent, who speak clearly. Why are they in prison? And they just stuff every cell. Men sleep on the floors, women sleep on the floors. Why are the prime, these healthy, beautiful people in prison? Why? And I know you must think that's odd why I say healthy, beautiful people. But if you walk in, you see these folks who are healthy, who may not have had an opportunity, who may have robbed a grocery store, who are most, for the most part, all drug addicts, all of them. Why are they in prison? Can't anything else be done? I become very angry at that. You know, I go to the universities and I see a lot of young people or a lot of people over 36, but there's this huge missing gap. Where are those other people? I don't know. And I'm not all blindly for prisoners. I mean, if someone commits an atrocious crime, they should pay for it. But it's just not that way. You have a very small amount of people who are that dangerous. And the vast majority are just drugs. Druggies, addicts, drugs is what it is. Okay, well, I'm very... any more questions? I just get kind of carried away on that question. Yes? Anybody? Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I'll tell you what I think. There was a little boy named Jesus Alfredo, and he's a boxer, and he lives in South San Jose, which is a very, very violent barrio because of crack and cocaine and everything. And Jose wasn't dealing drugs, and he was boxing. And I went up to him the other day, and I told him, Jose, he was kind of perturbed. He says, I don't have any money because school starts next week. I don't have any money to buy me some shoes and no pants. I mean, I got pants, but they're really old. And he was telling the truth because his father's from Mexico and his mom's from here, but they're very poor. And so I said, well, listen, why don't we do this? And I hustled him up a job where he worked 2 weeks for $400. And this was the kid. His mom and dad wanted him to box so bad that they went and hawked their wedding rings just so that he wouldn't have to enter a ring with torn up sneakers. He had some beautiful black boots that he walked into a ring in Vegas and he knocked the kid out, but they wanted him to be proud. But the point I'm trying to make is that when I looked into Jose's face, I don't know what the answer is to drugs, but I know that by putting Jose to do this little padecito from his little job, that I was doing something. And I don't know how to gauge it. And I know that if I do that, I don't look beyond the borders of the human face. If a person's face is close to mine, I can help. That's my boundaries. Yes.
What is your history with
the
prison?
What a question. Yeah, we'll be here all night. Let's try to keep the questions to literary, because if we go into social. Any questions on literary? Questions? No? I want to thank you for being an absolutely wonderful audience. Thank you so much.